ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music and more.
To Money Matters, let's join Nick Bruning, Independent Financial Advisor, joining us, taking your calls as well, 1300 800 222, texts on 0467 922 702. Nick, good evening to you. Welcome back.
Hello, Phil. Great to be here. And, you know, there is that sniff of the silly season in the air, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. I know. You know. As soon as 1st of November comes, you know, there's warmth in the air, madness in the air.
Yeah. Pack away your orange Halloween rubbish and I don't know.
Do you get into all that?
Well, look, I have a thing about imported festivals and feasts from overseas, mate. It's just sort of old school, I guess. But no, things like Halloween and Valentine's we don't tend to get into, but the old traditional ones we do. Certainly Christmas is bigger in our family.
Yeah, one of mine was actually born on Halloween. I didn't manage that very well, but it's not been much at our house either. Mm. All righty, 1-300-800-222. Now, some things to talk about. Home care changes coming in on November 1. This is changes to home care packages. Also accommodation costs for residential aged care. You might think, oh, yeah, so what? But this is a huge issue if suddenly you're in the frame of having to need this or decide this, aren't you?
Yeah, and we're basically talking anyone that qualifies for home care after the 1st of November. So even if you've had an assessment and you haven't actually received your package, as they call it, it's going to be the new system which applies from the 1st of November. And to be fair, Phil, I think a lot of us have been looking at these residential care changes, and this is where you make what's called a refundable accommodation contribution up to $750,000. If you go into an aged care facility prior to Saturday, when you leave and you've paid the full amount, you'll get the full amount refunded to you. But from Saturday, the facility will be able to retain up to 2% per year for a maximum of 5 years. So kiss goodbye to 10% if you're in there for 5 years or more. And so we were looking at that because that's a significant impact on the lump sum. But kind of snuck under the radar are the changes to the home care packages. And I can tell you that affects many, many thousands of our listeners that are sitting at home, and they might be on a thing called a Commonwealth Home Support Program where they get a cleaner or a gardener in every week or two. Or the more structured home care packages. And now these are the packages that the government dishes out sort of based on numbers rather than need. So they sort of release 10,000 here, 10,000 there. And these are where you get someone that comes to assist you in your home, as I say, much more structured. So it can involve formal care, hygiene, bathing, showering, that sort of stuff, meal preparation, cleaning, gardening, those things. That also changes on the 1st of November. For us, what's the thing that sort of come out of, well, I won't say nowhere, you should have probably had a closer eye on it, was the fact that at the moment, if you're receiving a home care package, let's say you qualify for a level 2 package, which the government basically chips in about $20,000 a year, call it. Mm. Under the current system, what you can do, Phil, is that you can work out with your provider how much you want to spend in the different areas, right? And then basically you spend up to what the government's chipped in. So you spend up to your $20,000. The system's there to sort of for you to contribute, but people aren't compelled to do so. But come Saturday, that all changes, and everyone is going to have to pay something towards their home care packages. So that was a kind of a little nasty that's crept in. So the way it'll work is that from Saturday there'll be 8 packages, not 4 anymore. Mm. The new program's called Support at Home, just to keep the printers busy. Change the name of everything, and there'll be 3 categories, if you like, of care that you can get where you get receive money from the government. So, and critically, this is for full pensioners. If you're a full pensioner, the clinical care component. So, this would be where you've actually got allied professionals, the nurse, the occupational therapist coming to see you. The good news is that you still will pay nothing towards that at all. So, 0%, no matter what it is, but it comes out of whatever your package amount is. Here's the rub. For independent support, so we're talking about hygiene, in other words, the bathing and those sorts of things, companionship, transport, getting to see your doctors, all those things, the government will absolutely pay for it. But you're now required to pay 5% of whatever you decide to spend on that kind of expense. And I'll give you an example in a minute. And then the final category is what we call everyday living. And this is the stuff that a lot of people are using at the moment, things like cleaning and gardening and meal preparation, that sort of thing, you'll be required to pay 17.5% of whatever you've allocated to that area. And I'm saying, again, this is people who are on a full pension. So we're talking folks that, you know, aren't getting a part pension because they've got money stashed behind. They're on the full tote. So one example, let's say you had $40,000 as a level 5 package under the new system. The provider's allowed to keep 10%, so $4,000 goes into their pocket. The $36,000 you can allocate any way you like. So if you decided to say, let's pay half of that towards that professional care, the nursing, the OT, that kind of stuff, $18,000, that's it. You don't have to contribute anything to that. But if the remaining $9,000 was split between, $18,000 was split between two independents and everyday living, so $9,000 each, I'll save you all the maths. It works out to be having to contribute $78 a fortnight. So, you know, if you're a full pensioner, Phil, that's not an insignificant amount. No. You're going to have to pay it. So, the provider will have to deduct it from your bank account. The only grandfathering provision is for someone that's currently receiving a home care package. So the good news is if you're listening to us and you've already got one, you will be no worse off under the new system. So that's a grandfather guarantee the government's put in place. But everyone else, all of us, will be paying, in this example, $78 a fortnight. If you're a part pensioner, you're going to be required to pay between 5 and 50% of the independent support and between 17.5% and 80% of the cost of your everyday living expenses. So the less pension you get, that means the more resources you have to tap into, and you'll be expected to use that to pay towards it. Look, it's a mind-numbingly complex thing.
It is.
I guess the main message is just don't think that you don't need to budget for it, because you most certainly will. And I think that, once it's sort of, people start getting bills and having to pay things, I expect they could be a few rumbles out there. I'm not sure people realise the impact.
I suspect so. Yeah, all right. Nick Bruning's with us, independent financial advisor. If you'd like to call him, 1-300-800-222. He can give you advice. You can text questions to 0467-922-702. Grab a line. There are some free. Don from Glebe. G'day. G'day, Don.
Hey, Don.
Don, yeah. It's not from Glebe, but it doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
I'm a full pensioner, so... I follow your advice, and I don't have to worry too much about it. I wanted to just ask you. The whole package is in very small print, and most of the people that are getting a full package, they've got no chance of reading that. I just wondered if there's somewhere within the government that can sort it out and read.
I'm sure there is.
Absolutely no chance of reading it.
Mm. Yeah, I totally understand that. I will put in a gratuitous plug for a YouTube package that we literally recorded on Saturday, and hopefully it'll be up tonight, which is a video thing that you can watch on your smart TV or if you've got a computer.
Most people of my age can't handle that either.
Look,
we need the written word in bigger print.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Hopelessly put together. I don't know which department it is, but it... I can't read the first line of it.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry about that, and I'm sure that there is some form of assisted reading or whatever package there, and I expect maybe, Phil, in the next hour we might hear from someone that's listening that might know where to point us to. But, they're generally pretty good at having those sort of enhancements for people with various impairments, Don. So hopefully we'll hear something, or maybe tomorrow night Phil will have something on it. But anyway, let's find out for you. But in the meantime, if you look at YouTube, NetPlan Aged Care, it'll take you to a little 9-minute package we've done up that goes through those changes.
Okay. If anyone knows of some big printed version that we could help Don, then let us know. 1-300-800-222 is the number. Tony in Canberra says, Phil, if I take all my PSS superannuation payout as a fortnightly payment and then live merely a short time, what happens to the remaining multi-hundreds of thousands of dollars still in my account, still in the fund?
What an excellent question. And in fact, yes, it's one of the things about defined benefit pensions, Phil, is that they're not defined benefit lump sums, no. But you may have that choice at the start. So often when people commence, they have a benefit that includes an indexed pension and also a non-indexed component. There's many occasions where we would say, look, take the indexed pension because that's kind of a no-brainer, and then the non-indexed pension, perhaps use it as a lump sum, because what we often find is that people take both, end up with more money coming in the latter stages of life where they actually can't spend it and maybe could have done some fun things in the early years. That said, you can build in what's called a reversion aspect to your partner or spouse. It needs to be that. You can't revert it to your kids. So that's the only option you've really got. But, yes, it's one of the risks, I suppose, of running those schemes. If you pass away early in the piece, then unfortunately you forfeit the balance.
Yes, you're not around to care about it, but the balance is...
But it's a good pension. I mean, that's the upside. If you are around, then, yeah, it's good.
Yeah, true enough. 1-300-800-222. Phil and Nick, is these changes to the home care package is going to apply for grandfathered people who had a package on the 25th of November last year?
No, and I'll reinforce that point, that if you were receiving a package as of, even now, our understanding is that you will not be able or required to contribute anything to your costs. So whatever arrangements you've got, that continues on. I guess the issue is someone that perhaps had an assessment in the last few months that haven't actually received their package. When they do get their package, if that occurs after Saturday, then we understand that they'll be under the new rules. So you actually have to be receiving the package now in order to be grandfathered. And I should point out, Phil, that the grandfathering only applies for as long as you're receiving home care under the new support at home package. If you then move into residential aged care, then you will have to pay the new RAD rules, so the 2% retention, all that stuff applies to you. The other thing that changes also is that the lifetime means tested cap. Now, this is the amount of money that over a lifetime you would be expected to pay. Now, at the moment, that figure is $84,571. It goes up every quarter or so. From Saturday, that figure jumps to $130,000. So if you come in under the new rules, that will be your lifetime cap. So effectively, it will be expected to contribute, well, at least $40,000 more than $45,000 more than someone else at the moment. But you'll be grandfathered if you were receiving the package prior to Saturday.
Mm. Nick Bruning's with us. 1-300-800-222 is the number. I'm on a disability support pension. Says my text, I've got an investment property worth $250,000 that's paid off. I get about $320 a week rent. I get penalised 50 cents in the dollar after $218 per fortnight of my rent.
Mm.
Would I be better selling my house and putting my money into a high interest bank account? Would that allow me to get more pension?
No, it won't, because there's two tests that are being applied here. There's an income test and an asset test, and whichever test produces the lowest pension is the one that they'll latch onto. Assuming our disability support texter is a homeowner, then they can have assets of up to $321,500 before the pension starts to be reduced under the asset test. And under the income test, which sounds like is how they're being assessed because of the rent that's being received, that figure is $218, and every dollar you go over, you're losing 50 cents of your disability support pension. So the issue is, what's the alternative with your money? And the reality is that if you look at the math, you're still 50 cents better off getting an extra dollar, okay? So even though you lose 50 cents of pension, you've still got the extra 50, so you're still overall better off. It's all about what sort of return you're getting on your investment property. So if you look at the $250,000 in value, and then you work out, okay, if I stuck it in the bank and got, at the moment, I can probably get about 4% still, just 4%. Is that more than I get having my money generating a rental income after I've paid all the expenses? And if the answer to that is yes, then I'd probably say, well, maybe you should look at that as an alternative. Might be a better deal. Of course, we're ignoring the fact that the property value may rise. And then there's a whole other argument, Phil, about, you know, how much longer can this amazing surge in house prices continue? Because maybe you'd be capitalizing at a very good time in the market and, you know, you're on a winner capping out where you are. So a few things to consider. But as it stands at the moment, you're almost certainly income tested. Increasing your income under the deeming system would probably put you better off, I would have to say, than receiving the rent. So it's probably a win-win having a look at selling the property.
Mm. Okie doke. Where are we? Phil and Nick is... Oh, sorry, we asked that question. It's confusing, says Jen. I missed the start of the conversation re aged care assistance. I can't understand what's happening. I'm on Commonwealth Home Support Program, CHSP. Okay. Does that mean I'll automatically progress to this home care package?
No. So the current system, Phil, is there's effectively two home care systems. There's what's called the Commonwealth Home Support Program.
Yep.
And that works on the basis that you get an assessment and someone's there's a regional person that comes around and has a look and says, okay, well, we can help you with your gardening or this or that. And basically you end up paying 10% of the cost. So if the charge out rate is $90 an hour for the gardener, then you would be expected to pay, call it $9, and the government picks up the rest. That's that system. That system will be absorbed under the new one called Support at Home in July 2027. So it's a couple of years away. Being under the CHSP system does not mean you qualify for grandfathering if you then move into a home care package, unfortunately. Mm. So our texter will, Jen will have to, unfortunately, find that extra money if she's in a position where she needs to move to the home supported home new system, unfortunately.
Helen from Leongatha says, I've been told that no longer will the government fund gutter cleaning for the elderly. Yeah, there are lots of ads about it being the biggest bushfire season ever.
Yeah, well, I know there's been a bit of a crackdown on some of the services that are provided. I'm afraid I'm not across all of the what's in and what's out. But look, basically, the intent here is to ensure that you can stay at home safely for as long as you need to live at home, or you choose to live at home. I guess the point is that if it's a question of safety for the home, I'd be surprised if that's not re-looked at, if it's a safety issue. But I'll have to take her word on that. That's the rule. So yeah, it's something that might get looked at. And look, a lot of this stuff is being bedded down, and it's quite incredible. Phil, talking to some of the even the providers in the system, they're not even across what's going on completely. Yeah, so exactly. It's a case of suck it and see, I think.
Alrighty.
Nightlife with Philip Clark
on ABC Radio.
Yes, I'm talking to Nick Bruning, independent financial advisor. By the way, Nick, your retirement book is out now, isn't it? Don't panic.
It is. Well, nearly, Phil. It's at the printers, so we're expecting them in a couple of weeks. But look, you can still pre-order it. Thank you very much. It's called don'tpanicretirement.com.au. Don'tpanicretirement.com.au. Just very briefly, it's really a do-it-yourself, a how to do your own financial plan. And it sounds all very complicated. When it's all laid out in simple speak, which is what I like to think we do here, then you can follow it with some real-life examples. So we talk about what sort of expenses you'll expect in retirement, how it changes as you get a bit older, tax stuff. We look at how investments work and sort of a no-nonsense approach. These are the things to watch for. Talk about super. This is one of the only books out there that actually deals with in detail with Centrelink, because that works hand in glove with people. Super, as I mentioned, and then there's some detailed case studies. Anyway, the idea is to show you how you can do it with a lot less than you think. There's an example there with a couple with $450,000 in savings, generates an income of about $67,000 a year for life, tax-free, indexed. Great.
Check it out. Don't Panic Retirement. The book is called Don't Panic, How to Retire Well with Less Than You Think. And you can get one from don'tpanicretirement.com.au.
Pre-orders.
Pre-orders, that's right. It'll be personally signed by Nick Bruning. I've just tipped you in now. You have to.
Yeah, well, thanks, mate. That ain't happening.
1-300-800-222 is the number. If you would like to call, Nick can give you advice if you'd like. Danny from Merriwa. G'day, Danny.
Hey, Danny.
Good evening, Phil. Nick. My question is, you said about the grandfather package.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I've been on disability support through like heaps of medical stuff, and they put me onto a level 4 care package last year. I signed up for it in early December, so it hasn't been 12 months yet.
Yep.
And now they're telling me that I have to pay the gap as well.
Are you on a full disability support pension? Or, well, no, look, that's not my understanding, to be fair, Danny. My understanding is that if you're Under a system at the moment where you're not paying anything towards the care that you're receiving, then under the grandfathering provisions, no worse off is what the government said, then you wouldn't be expected to pay anything. So I'd be checking that back with your provider just to make sure. Because as I said to Phil just a second ago, there's a lot of confusion out there about how this new system actually works. And I've seen some...
The company owner I was actually speaking to, and he... Yeah. He was quite confused in it himself. He said, there's that many, like, different things, and they're not sure on everything else. And he said, and it's starting in a couple of days' time.
Yeah, well, exactly what I said.
And he's going around all of his clients to sign them, like, re-sign them up and notify them of what's happening. Mm. But he said that there was a date in September was the cut-off point.
Yeah,
and
but that was...
anyone that joined after that or got signed up after that...
Yep.
Wasn't covered.
So when did you get your package?
It'd be last October.
October last year. So
12 months.
Okay, so my understanding, there's a cutoff date of September the 24th, 2024, was if you hadn't received your, if you had an assessment and you were in the queue to receive a package, you would be grandfathered. But that's pretty much going to assume that you received your package after that date. And so, you know, that was in terms of being under the grandfathering provisions. You got yours in October.
I'm pretty close to the cutoff point. Yeah.
No. But October is before November 1st, which is Saturday, even October last year. So because you had your package up and running, my understanding is you get grandfathered, so you won't have to provide any payment towards your new home care package systems, okay? So you should be okay. But like I said, your good mate who's an aged care provider is confused. I can tell you he's not the only one.
Yeah.
Okay. Huh? Righto, then. Thanks, Danny. Bye-bye. 1-300-800-222. Nick Bruning is with us. Hey, super statements have arrived.
Yeah.
What should you be checking?
Well, there's a couple of things on that. And, it's sort of the annual stock take of how the super fund's performed, and you'll be very excited about how it's all done, and they've all done very well, thank you. I'd look at things just to make sure the basic details are correct. And we're talking about names, addresses, dates of birth, all that kind of stuff. If any of those things are wrong, you'd be amazed how it slows things down when you come to get your payout at the end. And, you know, you might be ready to go on a trip and it's going to be paid for the super, and suddenly you discover you can't get your money because one of those bits is wrong. The other thing I'd look very closely at is the things like life insurance cover that's part of your super fund. Just to give you an idea, if you've got $1 million worth of cover at 35, this is why we love life, super fund life insurance, death and total disability would cost you $900 a year. But let's just say, Phil, you've left it aside, you just keep on rolling it over 1 year to the next, now it's your 55th birthday. That same $1 million cover is costing you this year about $5,200. So it's gone from $900 to $5,200. And if you go another 5 years to your 60th birthday, it'll be up to $9,000
a year. It gets to a point where it's not worth it.
It's ridiculous. Exactly. Yeah. And people never look at it or don't
look really
at it.
It's really
only
a thing you should be in when kids are young.
Exactly.
And you've got a big mortgage too, you need to cover it.
People to support, you know, kids not yet adults, all that sort of stuff. The idea is that it should reduce as you get a bit older, and therefore you've got other assets to draw on if something dreadful should happen.
No insurance company's going to give you $1 million when you're 89.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. But people think it's some good investment, but it's not. It's just, you know, because once the money's gone, it's gone, and then you're kicked out of super, and that's the end of your life cover. Mm. And one final one is just check your investment mix is appropriate. It's not that long ago in April when we were dealing with Liberation Day and the market crashing. Almost daily now we're hitting all-time highs, Phil. I've said it a couple of times now in the last few shows. If you're getting close to retirement, I would absolutely be looking at de-risking right now. You know, you made some fantastic profits over the last year or two, and I'd be moving something more conservative. Cash would be the, you know, probably over the top a bit because we don't really know what happens next, even someone like me that's sort of sprouting all this stuff. But what I do know is that markets at all-time highs is you know, a time to be interested in what the market's done and how much you've made. And if you move to a conservative portfolio, no, you're not going to be immune from from share market crashes, but the impact wouldn't be as great if we end up with, who knows? I mean, it could be 20-30%. I can tell you that the next crash is just around the corner. When is it? No idea. How much will it fall? No idea. But it's coming, Phil. It's coming. And many, many commentators are saying that this market is crazy at the moment. None of those share prices, or very few share prices, are supported by, particularly the big ones, are supported by the dividends being paid.
Okay. All righty. Helen wants to clarify the grandfathering issue. She is across it. Hello, Helen.
Ah, Helen. Yep.
Yes, hello. Look, I just have to pull over on the side of the road here.
Yeah. This is Helen Morton we're talking to.
Oh, well, Helen would know. Helen is, and I should introduce Helen. She's the ex-Minister for Health in WA and has got a fantastic program, a staying-at-home program, so she will know. I listen with bated breath, Helen.
Okay, Nick, the actual situation is that if somebody was assessed as being eligible for a package or was receiving a package on or before the 12th of September 2024, they will be grandfathered whether they are already receiving their package or even if they're still waiting for it.
Yep.
They will be grandfathered. They needed to have been assessed and approved before the 12th of September 2024.
Yep.
If anybody was assessed after that date, doesn't matter if they're already receiving it, they will go into the new system. They will not be grandfathered.
That's great.
Wow. Okay, thank you for that. Helen, that's different to what I understood, but Helen would know, so thank you for that.
Yeah, a couple of people have been texting along lines as
well.
Helen, I'm great. Thank you so much for calling. That's great.
Yep.
You're very welcome.
Good on you. And Helen, quick question for you. Is there a lot of confusion out there?
Well, there's a lot of confusion because a lot of people aren't really aware of what's going to happen or how it's happening. But those of us that are working in the situation know that, you know, the key date or deadline is the 12th of September 2024. So there's not a lot of confusion for people who are in the system or working in the system, but for new people there's a lot of confusion.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Thanks, Helen. Good on you.
Okay,
appreciate it. Thank you. Yes, a couple of people also texting in saying the same, that anyone is receiving a home care package on the 12th of September 2024, anyone who was on the national priority system on the 12th of September 24, anyone who had been assessed and approved for a home care package on or before 12th September 2024. There you go.
Well, when I mess up, I'm happy to fess up, Quill.
Oh, I stuffed up on Prunella scales.
Probably.
All righty, 1-300-800-222 is the number. Marlene in Melbourne. Hello, Marlene.
Hi. I've got my own super. I've got defined benefits, and then I was sacrificing when I was working and started 1996, 1997. I could do anything I want. There were no cap or anything. So I'm okay. And then my husband just passed away, and he's got a straight super, which, you know, it's going to become mine, but he passed away Boxing Day last year. So I've got no idea what to do with that lump sum. It's about $370,000.
Okay.
And I'm pretty okay myself. So what should I do with it?
Okay. So, Marlene, firstly, I'm sorry to hear that. When your husband passed, had he prepared a thing called a non-lapsing binding death nomination? Do you know if you are to
receive? Yep. Yeah.
Okay. So when you elect to take that money, you will receive that $370,000 and it will come to you completely tax-free. So it's entirely up to you what you decide to do with it. I guess it's really about and would you be eligible for pensions and part pensions and things like that?
I've always been self-funded retiring.
Okay, all right. Yeah, okay, that's fine.
Years ago, so I don't get anything.
All right, that's fine. So, look, it really is. It's really up to you what you decide to do with that $370,000. It might be expending some of it on yourself. It might be doing things to your home to make it more ready for perhaps a move into aged care well down the track by the sound of things. So there's a number of options. You could certainly look at gifting and helping out family, friends, loved ones, all those options too. The gifting rules are completely irrelevant to you because you're not on any Centrelink income support payments, so the deprivation stuff doesn't apply. And I guess that's one of the big areas of confusion. People think they're not allowed to give stuff away. You absolutely can. Yeah. It's only if you're on a Centrelink income support payment that you can have implications.
One question, what's the cap maximum I can have under my name without paying any further tax?
Oh, yeah, okay. So you could also recontribute it to superannuation. You've got a thing called the transfer balance cap, which is now $2 million. It went up from $1.9 million to $2 million on the 1st of July. That will also be factored into your defined benefit pension. And if you're getting that, was that a Commonwealth-type pension?
Oh, Marlene? It's I'm getting about 55 per year.
All right.
14 or 16, it will
calculate. Yeah, okay. So there's a calculation. I think that income figure is multiplied at the factors either 14 or 16, I can't remember offhand, to work out the equivalent lump sum amount, and that will decide whether or not you can make any what we call non-concessional contributions to super. In theory, if you were less than about $1.7 million all up, then you could you could put in $360,000 as a non-concessional contribution to super, assuming you're under 75 years of age, and it sounds like you are.
I will turn 75 in March.
Okay, so you'd need to do that before March, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Okay, all right, thank you.
Thanks, Marlene, bye-bye. 1-300-800-222, John from Denniston. G'day, John.
Good evening.
Evening.
Thank you, John, for taking my call.
Pleasure.
I think part of my question has been answered by one of the person who was the former minister. But basically, I've been approved for a level four, but only a few months ago, and I haven't. I'm still waiting for the funding to come through. That's not coming through till next year. But I've been approved, but not actually receiving it. But I have obviously missed the September 2024 deadline. So I'm Cactus. I'm I'm into the new, whatever the new one's going
new
to
regime.
Be.
So, John, are you getting a part pension from Centrelink? Do you qualify for that?
No, I'm still totally self-funded retiree.
Wow, okay. So, John, it is expensive. So just for everyone's benefit, in John's situation, being fully self-funded and not receiving a part pension or a Commonwealth Seniors Health Card, he'll still have clinical care will be zero, but his independent support, so, you know, the hygiene, those sorts of things, companionship, transport, 50% you'll be required to contribute. And of the everyday living expenses, you'll be required to contribute 80% of whatever that cost is. So, that's not insignificant, is it?
That is not insignificant because at the moment I'm not needing a lot. I'm only getting gardening and cleaning done. But I imagine as I get older and I'll also explain, I'm mobility impaired. I've got osteoarthritis and Guillain-Barre syndrome. That means it's difficult for me to walk without crutches. But otherwise, my needs are quite low at the moment. But as we get older, my needs will increase.
And yes. I should point out too, John, that, I mean, yes, these are the rules as they stand at the moment and the levels as they stand, but all of those numbers are indexed. And a couple of things happen through retirement, and that is that those thresholds keep going up. And if you're doing things, then, you know, often the net wealth starts to reduce. And there's actually strategies you can do to – basically, the things that you would do to improve your Centrelink position would also work equally as well with the new aged care stuff. And that's another change I should point out, that the not only is it assessed on income now, it's also assessed on assets in much the same way as the aged pension is assessed by Centrelink. So, you know, strategies like upgrading your home and doing renovations and making repairs, putting in lifts, all those sorts of things that you might do to your family home, effectively move assets from an area where Centrelink might look at it and aged care into an area where they wouldn't look at it, being your home. So perhaps making it more livable, shall I say, might also help your position as far as being entitled to
I have done some of that. I have done renovations of the house. That's moving it from the cash where Centrelink does look at it to include it into value of the home where they don't.
That's right. Okay. So all of those little tricks are the sorts of things we look at. And look, it's a function too of how far out you are from qualifying. You know, if you're millions of dollars over, then, you know, some of this stuff is just going to be, well, it's just not going to happen. But if you're, you know, a few hundred thousand, and a lot of people are, then you can absolutely start looking at this stuff, bearing in mind that as you age, those thresholds will increase, and at some point, maybe in your 70s, those numbers will cross over and you'll qualify.
Thanks, John. Mike says on the text line, my wife's auntie recently died and left her mother a house which sold for $1.2 million. Mm-hmm. My wife's mother is a 78-year-old widower on pension. What should she do with the money? For keeping a part pension or stick it all in the bank?
Well, if she's a single person and the house is worth $1.2 million and she's inherited it, kiss goodbye to the pension because you will be well over the asset test threshold. And for everyone's benefit, for a single person, that's $714,500. When you receive an inheritance like that, a lot of people like to think, oh, I just don't need to do anything with it. Centrelink have some fairly strict rules on that. You basically have until you actually receive or are entitled to receive the property, you've got about a year to sort out the estate. It's sort of loosely called the executor's year. But you've got about 12 months to sort things out. After that, it would form part of mum's Centrelink assessment. And then it needs to be a very pragmatic look to say, look, this is a lovely house. Is it worth renting? Am I going to get enough income from the rent to actually pay for the for what I've lost in the pension? And often the answer is no, because by the time you do the repairs and you pay the agents, this and all the ongoing costs, you actually end up with a yield or a return of about 2%. Well, that's just not going to be enough. So it's been often a case of looking to sell the property and use that money and put it into something that does generate a replacement income. There are things called annuities, which are very useful under those circumstances. It's going to depend a lot on mum's other assets and income as to what way to go. I would probably suggest, and I'll mention it, Phil, getting some financial advice, I'd head along to the moneysmart.gov.au website before you do anything, just to find out how the financial advice games work, moneysmart.gov.au, and then perhaps get an independent financial advisor to help you, and the CIFA, which is the association I'm associated with, Certified Independent Financial Advisors Association, CIFAA.asn.au, CIFAA.asn.au, and there's some terrific aged care people as well as some people that'll help that out.
Marion in Leichhardt. Hi, Marion.
Hi, Phil.
Hi, Marion.
Thank you for this. I have an aged care package. I'm a part pensioner and I've had my package for long enough that I'll be grandfather, which I'm very grateful for. But I've been asked to sign a new contract this week with my aged care provider, the people who handle the package. I was wondering why they would want me to sign a new contract. I signed a contract with them 3.5 years ago.
Yeah, well, I guess it's probably taking into account the new terminology perhaps, and also the new package levels, as I mentioned before, the 8 package system and other things. And it could be something to do with what services are included as part of the crackdown, shall we call it, on what sort of things you can get. Look, without seeing the contract, I can't tell you. And to be fair, not being an aged care provider, I'm not sure if there's some global things that needed to change in the packages. I have heard a couple of people, but I haven't heard everyone saying that they needed to sign a new contract. So usually the provider will tell you, you know, in pretty simple English, what's different between the old one and the new, and ask them that.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much.
Right. Okay. Thanks, Marion.
But good news for Marion. She's not going to have to pay anymore, so that's good.
Yes. Yes, exactly. All right, 1-300-800-222. Line's free if you want to grab one. Sean from Adelaide. Hi, Sean.
Gentlemen, how are you going? Thanks for taking my call.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, Sean.
I'm just trying to seek some clarity. I'm a sole trader running my own business. The last financial year that's just gone and been and gone, sat down and did the numbers, was really pleased to see where I was in a financial position, only to discover a week later when my accountant did my tax preparation for me that I had crossed over into a new tax bracket. Mm-hmm. And subsequently, the money that I thought I was going to have in my bank account now has to go to the ADO. You kind of offset that. He has suggested that come just before June, I think it is, he wants me to take a considerable amount of money out of my savings account, which is also a trading account, which is also offsetting my mortgage. I'm a single individual paying the house off.
Yeah.
Plonking that into superannuation, and in my view, instead of paying, I think it's about $20,000 in personal income tax at the end of the next financial year, when that's due to roll around, plonking $30,000 out of, you know, my bank account into super means that I would then only be paying somewhere close to, I think it's about 11, somewhere on the numbers, roughly.
Yep.
But my question is it beneficial for me to not do that and leave that offsetting my mortgage? Or is it beneficial
So what he's trying to do is to reduce your taxable income, and that's by using superannuation, what we call as a concessional contribution, which is someone's getting a tax concession, which in this case is you, because you're going to claim it as a deduction. So that's going to reduce your taxable income by 30 grand. Sean, have you got any other money in super at the moment?
Just on 230,000.
Okay, so in fact, the other thing that you could do if you wanted to get it even lower is that you've got what we call carryover unused concessional contributions from previous years, and you can actually pump in, well, up to $167,500 less any money that's already gone in where a tax deduction has been claimed in the last 5 years. So it's potentially a lot more than that. Let's not forget that not only are you going to get the tax break, so you're probably going to be saving yourself, I don't know, 30% tax, depending on what your income is, but you'll also be able to have that super invested probably sounds by your age, a reasonably aggressive type portfolio, which is probably what I'd recommend to someone that's in their 30s or 40s, because you can't get to your super until you hit at least 60. So it should do quite well. And then this is one of those situations where it's probably going to do better than the money or the expense of the mortgage. So, you know, on a like for like, you're probably on par, if not slightly better. You get the tax break. So in this instance, it's probably not a bad strategy to follow. I'm generally a bit reluctant about using super heavily with people that are in their 30s and 40s, and that's because not the market risk, it's simply about the rules being changed on you. But that's some time to go, hopefully, and I guess that's the risk that you run. But, on the face of it, it looks like a reasonably good strategy that I would give it a tick.
Thanks, Sean. Chris in Andamooka. G'day, Chris.
How you going?
Not bad.
A couple of years ago, I was crushed doing a job, crushed between two vehicles, and my back was broken. And I had super insurance for injury and wage protection. And when I claimed it, my super company merged with someone else, and they only would pay a total of $3,000 for the 2 years super income insurance. Are they allowed to do that?
No. So basically what happens when a super fund's taken over, Chris, and you didn't change funds, it was taken over, kind of, then they generally take on all the liabilities and whatever's going on. And equally, if the injury occurred while the insurance was in place, it's about when the injury occurred, not when you get to claim. And you've got a period of time where, you know, you might need to get things sorted out. You need to follow a bit of a process about complaining and actually going through it. So presumably you were just dealing with the super fund. You weren't dealing with the financial advisor?
No, just a super fund, yeah.
Okay. So you need to write a letter or get an email or someone to help you do it or whatever you need to do. But you need to put something in writing to them with the word complaint prominent in there and just spell out exactly what's happened. And then, you know, if possible, put what your suggested remedy is. You know, you should have paid me this much and you only gave me $3,000. They are required to respond, A, within 24 hours that they've got the complaint. Then they're required to get back to you with some sort of outcome, hopefully in your favour, and then maybe not. Now, if not, then you need to take the next step, which is the Australian Financial Complaints Authority, AFCA, afca.org.au. It's a sort of quasi-government thing. Every super fund, every financial advisor, everyone needs to be a member of a free external dispute scheme. And they've got a pretty good track record and they are very helpful. So your first starting point, go to the super fund, get it in writing, get a response. And if that doesn't satisfy you, complain. Then take it to AFCA.
Okay. Yep. Good on you. Hope it works out for you, Chris. Thank you. Is money received from a reverse mortgage counted as income when you're on the age pension, says Mary?
No. Generally speaking, withdrawals from a reverse, and so what they are for everyone's benefit is that it's a loan that you take out against a property, generally your family home, and you're basically borrowing money against the house. So each payment isn't income. It's actually increasing the loan against your home. So they're quite popular. The reverse mortgage is offered by the commercial operators, typically charging 8 or 9% interest. Have a look at a thing called the Home Equity Access Scheme, which is operated by Centrelink, believe it or not. It's like a reverse mortgage run by the government. The reason I like it, the interest rate is 4%. Like it's half, okay. Less than half.
But it doesn't affect your pension?
No.
Okay, that's interesting. No. Hmm. Mm. Recently I received a $100,000 inheritance. Can I stay on JobSeeker, says my texter.
Look, the inheritance doesn't count as income, but you will need to disclose to Centrelink, and it's a question of whether it impacts you under the asset test. And for a single job seeker, that asset test is the same as for a single pensioner, $321,500 if you're a homeowner. Hmm. Probably not, but make sure you disclose it because they do discover it, and then, not good.
Jeff in Perth. G'day, Jeff.
Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Nick. Phil, how are you going?
Pretty good.
Look, a quick one. I might run out of time. I'm a self-funded retiree with a self-managed super fund. I've got an investment property I'm thinking of selling and probably about $400,000 profit. Can I put it in the self-managed super fund?
Are you over 67?
73.
All right. So you need to satisfy a thing called the work test, which means that you need to can do that. All right. Well, then you can. Yeah. You've got $30,000. Which you've got, and then also the carry over rules as well. So it depends on, is there less than $500,000 in your super?
Yeah, okay. There is.
Yep, as of the 30th of June, if it's less than $500,000.
And can that wipe out capital gains tax?
Yes, absolutely. Yep. Capital gains tax, you pay half of the profit is taxable, and there's simply another deduction that you can apply to reduce that.
There you go.
So, yes.
Okay. Thanks, Jeff.
Up to how much?
$30,000 per year, and then carry over potentially $167,500. But there's
riders with that. Profit.
Yeah. Well, no, mate. No. Be nice, okay. But no.
No.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, Jeff. Thank you. All right, Nick. That's we're done because look at the time.
Notwithstanding my mess up. Woo.
Mary says, thanks so much. Put my mind at rest. Thank you, Mary. And thanks to Nick for all his advice. Remember, moneysmart.gov.au, always a good site. If you want some independent financial advice, CIFAA.asn.au. And if you want to get hold of Nick's book, Don't Panic, retirement.com.au is where you can order it. The book's called Don't Panic. Don't Panic, retirement.com.au. Thanks, Nick. Talk again.
Thanks, Phil. Look forward to it.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.